Good morning. The time is 9:06. Currently a little fog and mist out there at our studios on the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. Temperature stands at 33 degrees. I'm Chad Holmes, Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Coming up in this hour, in just about, 13 minutes or so, scheduled to be joined by Karen Vandenberg, Wausau School Board member, candidate for re-election. Of course, spring election coming up, six candidates on the ballot for three seats on the board, and our first discussion with one of the candidates, Karen Vandenberg, coming up at 9:20. Need to say good morning officially, because we got into it with Pat Kreitlow at the top of the first hour, and then just went flying through that hour very quickly, but joined again on the other side of the glass by my in-studio engineer and producer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
How are things with you?
Doing a lot better. I think the sickness I had is almost out of me, and my family is doing better also. Unfortunately, and when I got sick, I passed it on to the rest of the family.
Doesn't that happen all the time?
Better, though, so it's getting better.
That this time of year, it just spreads like wildfire, doesn't
it? Yeah. I did hear there's something really nasty going around, and I guess I caught it.
I think I had caught it and still fighting part of it. And generally, it's just, you look out there, you get this melting. It's just at times a little icky, with the slush like and everything else. And
yeah, it just seems like my symptoms are always worse in the winter than they are in the spring and summer. I mean, the spring and the summer, I can deal with them pretty well as long as I take my vitamin C and allergy pill in the morning. But in the winter, it's a little more stuff in the air, and it can really get you sick fast.
Absolutely. I know. And but back to rehearsal tonight.
Yep, I'm back to rehearsal. Last night and tonight we're focusing more on the vocals, going over all the songs, make sure or we have the words and the notes are better, because we sound pretty good. It's just we're a little unsure about certain songs. That's why we're having these vocal reviews, to make sure we know what we're singing and know where we sing.
Also,
always very important.
Also, we've set up an interview with your director. Who's your director again?
Brenton Hakanis.
And he'll be coming in with a member of your cast on February the 12th, which I think is the week of the production.
Oh, fantastic.
So we'll look forward to that coming up. And again, you're going to be off book next week, right?
Yeah, it's coming by so fast.
Yeah.
That usually happens when it comes to theater. It's just you start the rehearsals about a couple weeks ago, and then a month goes by, and you're like halfway through off a book, and then another couple weeks goes by, and then you're actually at the theater.
Absolutely. So best of luck as you continue that process. Want to talk a little sports here. Last night, the Bucks were in action, the first game for the Bucks after firing their head coach, Adrian Griffin. Reports came out yesterday as well that they are working on the final details of a contract with Doc Rivers. But last night, with an interim coach, the Bucks played well. The Bucks snapped the Cleveland Cavaliers' eight-game winning streak, 126-116 at Pfizer Forum. Giannis Antetokounmpo had another big night, 35 points, 18 rebounds, 10 assists, triple-double. Damian Lillard had 28 points. Chris Middleton added 24 as well. The Bucks are now 31-13 and continue to lead the Central Division, have the second-best record in the Eastern Conference. Another matchup with Cleveland, rematch Friday night. So odd scheduling. They played back-to-back against the Detroit Pistons last weekend, now playing back-to-back against the Cleveland Cavaliers coming up this week. Also yesterday, the big news was the Packers. They fired their defensive coordinator, Joe Barry. Joe Barry had been the defensive coordinator for the past 3 years. So Green Bay looking for a new DC. One of the names being bantied about is a former Wisconsin Badger and former Badger assistant and Badger interim head coach Jim Leonard. See whether or not he is ready to get back into the full-time grind. He had served as an analyst, part-time analyst, for his old coach, Brett Bielema, at Illinois this past year. So Packers, a big opening as they start the transition, looking ahead towards the 2024 season. Also last night, the Marquette Golden Eagles, ranked 14th in the country in men's college basketball, defeated DePaul 76-63 in Chicago. So Marquette, another road win as they continue to impress. Interesting looking at the national rankings. You got the Badgers at number 13, and you got the Marquette Golden Eagles at number 14. So Badgers were not in action last night. They are back on the court coming up tomorrow night when they take on Michigan State. Never easy against Michigan State. So Badgers at home at the Kohl Center. The Badgers beat Michigan State earlier in East Lansing. And also a big win last night for UW Stevens Point's men's basketball team. They traveled to number 11 ranked Platteville, and the Pointers got a last second shot to win it 65-64. So the Pointers are now 9-9 overall, 3-4 in the WIAC. New head coach this year, very young team, and a team that's starting to grow. So very impressive for UWSP in earning that win. And also tonight, as I've mentioned, boy, big one in high school hockey. Looking forward to being at the Marathon Park Ice Arena coming up later on as the Wausau West Warriors take on the Stevens Point Panthers. And it's always been a great matchup between these schools. They've been perennial powers, usually 1-2 in the WVC. Again, this year that is the case. Wausau West is 1.5 games behind Stevens Point in the conference. Stevens Point is 8-0 in the Valley. Stevens Point is undefeated overall, just one tie, 15-0-1. They are ranked number one in the state in this week's WisconsinPrepHockey.net statewide rankings in Division I. The Warriors are 6-1 in the Valley, 10-9 overall. But that means they're one game back of Point in the loss column. So that means if the Warriors can get a win tonight, they'll be in a virtual tie for the conference lead. Won't be easy. Stevens Point beat the Warriors the first time 5-2 last month. But tonight we will have the game live right here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 6:50. And we will have the opening face-off at 7 o'clock. And again, also tonight, the Sports 2 stream of BowFallsRadio.com and the Civic Media app, high school girls basketball. Another rivalry, Marathon at Newman Catholic. Red Raiders and the Fighting Cardinals. Tom Weaver will have the call of that one starting at 7 o'clock with the pregame, 7:15 for the opening tip-off. Again, live on the Sports 2 stream. Get the Civic Media app and then open up the Bow Falls Radio page or at bowfallsradio.com. Other high school activity tonight in boys high school hockey, another Wisconsin Valley Conference matchup. D.C. Everest will play host to Marshfield at the Green Heck Fieldhouse. Hope you had a chance last night to tune in. Big high school sports show as we had as our coach guest, Dan Van Slyke, the head coach of the D.C. Everest hockey team. Also tonight in high school basketball, it is Assumption at Stratford in high school boys basketball in the Merriwood South. in high school girls basketball coming up this evening. There will be Wausau East and Merrill. In fact, Wausau East and Merrill are playing a boys-girls doubleheader tonight over in Merrill. So if you're looking for not one but two high school basketball matchup up at the Merrill High School gym, the girls will tip off first at about 6 o'clock and then the boys after that, so East and Merrill. So again, if you haven't done so, check out some of the area high school athletic events. You can't beat the price. You show support for the area student athletes. You also get a chance to hang out with your friends and neighbors. And just, if you haven't, you're really missing out. If you don't make it, I'd love to have you tune in on the radio. But at the same time, I think you really have a good time, and take advantage either tonight or even tomorrow night or Saturday, whatever. Whenever you have an opportunity, go out there and check out some high school sports activities. And also, again, all the extracurriculars, whether it's a band concert, whether it's a theater event, there's a lot going on with your area schools. The time is 9:17. Again, overcast skies as we start off our Thursday. Temperature stands at 33 degrees in downtown Wausau. Again, 2024 is going to be a very busy year. Of course, we have the presidential election. We have a U.S. Senate race here in Wisconsin. We have congressional races. But here in the spring, lots of activity. Got a mayoral race. Got city council and county board and school board races. And also a lot to keep track of. But we're going to try to talk to many of the candidates. And we're going to focus on the Wausau School Board coming up as Karen Vandenberg, who is an incumbent member of the board, running for re-election. We'll talk about some of the issues involved that she is facing as a member of the board and maybe some of the issues she's going to expect to face as we move into the future. So Karen Vandenberg, member of the Wausau School Board, coming up as we continue here on this Thursday morning. The time is 9:18. I'm Chad Holmes, Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. The time is 9:20. Again, overcast skies and 33 degrees here in downtown Wausau. And again, I have sent out invitations to all the candidates for the Wausau School Board race. Six candidates, three seats, and hoping to get a chance to sit down and talk to each about the issues facing the Wausau School Board. And of course, I've said to folks that since I started this show, probably one of the most, you would say, interesting issues has been within the board, because obviously a lot of discussion and news over the past year. And one of the incumbent members of the board running for re-election, Karen Vandenberg. And Karen, thank you again for coming into our studio and talking to us today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
First of all, this is the end of your first term, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Originally, when you first decided to run for office, what were the reasons behind it? What got you involved in thinking that I would like to be part of this board, especially during very interesting times for the Wausau School District?
Right. You know, I think initially I was really compelled to get involved because obviously we were in the middle of a pandemic.
Right.
There was a lot of struggle in the district and really around the state and nation on how to go about educating our students. I was not in a position that I agreed with the decisions that were happening at the time. Wausau had remained closed, the only district really in our area that had. And so that initially got me involved. But honestly, I have always had a heart for public education. I've got four students in the district. My mom was an educator my whole life. So it wasn't just that one issue. I mean, I had always been really engaged. That just probably was the catalyst that got me more involved and, you know, led to the initial campaign.
What have you learned in your, since actually going on the board? Because I think when it comes to local government, whether it's a city council, county board, school board, whatever it may be, you go in and you, and obviously, usually there is something like that where there's an impetus that gets mm-hmm. you involved. Mm-hmm. And then you get on the board. What is maybe some of the aspects that you've learned as being part of this board over the last couple of years that has maybe helped you become a better board member and would help you in the future? Mm-hmm. But just, again, maybe something that either surprised you or learned about over the last couple of years.
Sure. You know, I've learned a ton in the 3 years. First and foremost, I think I've learned the district is doing a lot of amazing things. And sometimes, you know, what you hear in the news is only the negative. And there's just so many great things to be celebrating about what the district is doing. We've got great educators. We've got great administrators who really care about students and are doing really great things. So that's been nice to be up close and personal right. with that. I've also just learned a lot about, you know, just board dynamics and how to be a good board member, how to remain professional and respectful, to disagree in ways that are appropriate, and just to dig deep, listen to community members with voices from all different areas and all different lenses that they come with. And I've really appreciated doing that. It's complex work. And a lot more work than it looks like. I mean, obviously, people only see maybe a couple hours of meetings twice a month, but really, the work is so much more outside of those meetings when you're digging deep, talking to community members, talking to staff members and administrators, and just really researching the issues that we're facing.
Was there an issue that maybe, you know, within all this information that you get, and that's, I think, something as well that people don't realize is that you do get the information, you have these packets and everything else you have to go through and really learn about. Was maybe an issue that you may have thought one way, but then you got more information on that you learned, and whether or not you changed your mind, but maybe thought of it in a different way. Was there maybe one of those complicated issues, or even less complicated, where by being part of this process that you learned and you were able to maybe get a greater understanding about a certain issue?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that happens all the time. You have to really go in with a mind that's willing to be teachable and learn from all the different perspectives. For certain, our restructure conversation was very much that. I mean, initially, you know, we kind of were really, my heart was thinking, okay, we really need to look at our elementary footprint. Administration came with real significant concerns about what was happening at the high school level. So, you know, I was not real excited about that, just from my own personal opinion, and yet knew I needed to learn about what the issues were. So then I was a part of the, you know, 8 subcommittee meetings over a whole summer, and I learned about a ton of issues that I was not otherwise aware of, because, you know, I have a scope just from my own personal experience as a parent. And, you know, so those are important things, which then gave me a broader perspective to address those issues.
We're going to, coming up in a couple of minutes, we have a news update. Then we'll come back and I kind of delve a little deeper into some of those issues. But one aspect that I don't know if it's discussed enough is where the board members come from. Because I think when you're talking about these issues, whether it's East and West or whether it's the elementary schools, are you a parent of kids that go to the West High School or to the East High School? And also on the board, is there a skewing to the one side or the other? And how do you take that and also realize, hey, there's the East Siders and the West Siders?
Of course. Oh, I
but are you East or West?
I'm a parent who lives on the West Side with 4 students who have gone through West Side schools. Absolutely. I think that's really important. It's important because I don't represent just West Siders.
Right.
I'm elected by the entire community. And so it's very important to me to hear the perspectives from every community member. That being East Siders, West Siders, people who don't have students in the district, people who are grandparents, you know, or who have born and raised in this area. So it's a voice that's so much broader than just a parent, although it's helpful, I think, to be someone who is near to the education of your students. So being a parent, I think, is actually not a liability by any stretch. I think it's a benefit because I've had exposure to so many of the great things and the needs that are happening. And just been inside the buildings, met lots of staff members and administrators over, you know, the whatever, 15, 17 years that I've had kids in this district.
What's something about the East Side that you learned that you didn't know before taking this job?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I've worked with teens in this area for 20 years from both sides of the river. So I was not unaware of the East. I've gone to all kinds of their great things, whether they be athletic events, arts, music. So I don't know that I was completely unaware at all of the East Side because of that, because I've really been had great relationships with kids on both sides of the river. But, you know, I've probably gotten to know a lot more staff members on the East Side that I've really appreciated being able to do because I haven't had as much exposure with staff and administrators over there. So that's been great. The East Side's doing amazing things. I mean, and they've got really great energy with regard to just improving and increasing their athletics. Their arts are amazing over there, but I've always loved that. I've always attended, you know, things over on that side of the river too. So I wouldn't say that, you know, I have a huge bias one direction or another that way.
Very cool. Okay, we have to take a news update.
Okay.
News, weather, and sports, and we'll come back and we're going to delve into, again, some of these bigger issues and get your thoughts on the consolidation and where we stand, maybe the future. Of course, looking for a new superintendent as well.
Right.
And we'll talk about that and more with Wausau School Board member Karen Vandenberg coming up. The time is 9:29. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 12:30. Chad Holmes with you on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 12:30. BowFallsRadio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app, the time is 9:34. Again, joined by Karen Vandenberg, who is a member of the Wausau School Board and also up for re-election. Also an officer on the board, correct?
Yep.
What's your office?
I am the board clerk.
There you go. So board clerk, Karen Vandenberg. Let's jump into the meat and potatoes of what a lot of people are talking about.
Sure.
Over the year 2023, early in the year, the board voted to have a comprehensive consolidation plan that involved all levels here at the Wausau School District. And then the process in certain ways moved throughout the course of the year. And then in November, there was a 5-4 vote. You were part of the five that voted to say that Wausau East and Wausau West would not be consolidating and the middle schools would not be changing in the fall of 2025 as originally planned. Let's kind of take it as a year.
Sure.
What changed from, I think it was February when the original vote occurred, to November when the new vote occurred? How maybe talk about how whether it's your own thoughts, the board dynamic, about this whole process during the year 2023 that's led us to this point.
Right, sure. Great question. So, honestly, the conversation has been going on far more than before February. I mean, the decades of conversation have been happening about sort of the imbalances and the disparities happening at the secondary level, and even really the referendum that was passed. Right after that was passed in April of 22, we had removed some $60 million off that referendum originally so that we could kind of take a step back and take a look at the elementary footprint, which was really where my focus was. So then after it was brought to us about concerns with regard to at the secondary level and really through the subcommittee work and some parents who brought forward a restructure plan, an idea that would have involved the junior high, senior high component, which then brought fifth grade out of elementary. It was a much larger plan than originally I think anybody was, you know, kind of thinking through. I was very much a part of the subcommittee discussions and recognized the issues that we were having with disparities, and so was in support of that, as long as that could be done with absolute excellence. And really the goal to do that restructuring at the secondary level was, and really the benefits of it was, so that we could provide increased opportunities, right, for students, and a greater parity for both sides of the river, that people would be having similar experiences. And so was in support in February with the caveat that this be done with absolute excellence. So as we learned from February through November, when there was just a lot of really important, great work and research with regard to scope and sequence for curriculum, et cetera, increasingly we were becoming more aware of space issues that would be happening at the senior high level in the Wausau West building. We, you know, certainly had explored East and West. East doesn't have the capacity, so West was quickly the place. It can only hold up to 1,200, is my understanding. So West was absolutely made sense to be the building, but even there was not going to have the capacity. And it was the science rooms that kind of came to focus. And that changed everything for me at that point, because the selling factor on this was that it be done with excellence and provide increased opportunities, not fewer.
Right.
And when we were going to then need to use $6 million in order to build these science labs, that money would have been moved from the referendum from April of 22 that was not scoped for restructure. Right. And I had a problem with that. I was not comfortable with moving previous referendum money for a restructure that was not passed by the community for restructure. And so when I realized, okay, this can't be done without increased funding, and we can't use funding that was passed for other purposes, so that means if this has to happen, we need to go back to the community and ask for referendum money specific to this project. And we haven't done that yet. And maybe that would be done someday, 5, 10, who knows when.
Right.
But that's not what we had done at this point. And so we knew, or I knew at that point, this can't be done right now with excellence without funding for it in specific to that building and a restructure plan. And so, you know, that changed my vote. It really did. And I was like, you know what, we need to take it off the table, because staying in limbo is not a good thing. It's not a good thing for the community, for students, certainly for staff, not knowing, okay, what's going to happen in 2 years, 5 years, if we're still exploring. And so I just felt like it's important we remove this from the table. Let's step back again and let's just refocus and look at our, you know, elementary footprint, which was sort of the original, you know, thought for me at least all along. So
I'll ask you about the elementary school footprint in just a moment, but I also saw you quoted after the vote in November that said that in the future, that if the facts show that perhaps we need to rethink again the consolidation of East and West, that is not off the table, basically. That, I guess, would it be fair to say that you are open to seeing how the numbers work at East and West over the next number of years, and willing to keep an open mind on that? Would that be fair to say, or is that
Sure. I mean, I think every decision has to be data driven, right? And so it's important for everybody to recognize we have changes happening, right? And yeah. So the focus right now won't be that of the board, but if declining enrollment continues the way it has in our district, as it has in around the state and the nation in public schools, we will come to a point where there's kind of critical mass if there aren't some things addressed. In the interim, you know, it's going to be important that we're doing the very best we can to have parity between the buildings. But absolutely, I mean, data has to drive our decisions so that we're running our district in the best possible way for student achievement.
Do you have any ideas on how we can get more parity between East and West High at this point? Because, again, looking at some of the projected numbers, it could be a point where it's 2/3 at West and 1/3 at East, and that seems like something that would not be sustainable for the long term. I know that you said that we're going to kind of focus here on the elementaries, but as we go into the next number of years, any thoughts on where the district should think about in ways to try to make it a little bit less disparate in terms of the enrollment at these two schools?
You know, I think right now the focus will be on trying to make parity in our curriculum. So providing the same or similar opportunities. But on some levels, some of that is not going to be possible. I mean, we have an amazing automotives lab at East that can't be reproduced at West, and it just isn't available. So we need to then make sure that our West Side kids have access to that if that's their desire. Likewise, you know, there's opportunities at West that are not available at East. Also, you know, East is a smaller size school than West, so there's a lot of benefits to being in a smaller environment, and there's a lot of benefits to being in a bigger environment. So some of it is just recognizing there's going to be differences, and, you know, there's certainly been conversation about, well, maybe everyone should be able to have a choice. I don't know. There's lots of different options. Certainly there's always the boundary line conversation, which is equally, you know, emotional. And so, you know, that will be something that certainly administration will come to us when we're having that conversation again. But in the interim, you know, right now, that's just not the focus. In the interim, I think we, you know, we work to make the greatest parity that we can. And we certainly encourage families and students to pursue an education wherever they think is going to best meet their needs. And that's happening. Mm-hmm. If a student says, you know what, I really want to have access to the IB programming that's at East, you know, that's a request that can be put into the administration. And likewise, if it's AP or some other programming that's offered at one building and not the other.
You mentioned the focus on the elementary footprint. What would you like to see happen here in terms of the future as this process continues now?
Sure. So, you know, I think that I really want just an honest look at what we have going on here. You know, the number one school district in our state is Elmbrook, and they have like about 50 fewer students than us, and they have 5 elementary schools, and we have 13. And so it's not, bigger schools don't make for lesser academic education or lesser opportunities. And I think that's a misunderstanding sometimes in the community. In fact, it just really offers greater opportunities, greater programming, greater resources, greater support for our students, first and foremost, and staff. And I want to be all about promoting an environment that advances student learning and achievement. And so if we can pool our resources better and allow for our specialists to be full-time in an elementary school building instead of hopping between 3, that supports our students better. If we're investing that direction rather than in buildings, we can invest in people. And I think that's really important. I know it's emotional and difficult to think about losing your neighborhood school. And yet, I just really hope our community will be open to recognize, you know, if we choose a path that says, I want to instead invest in a building, we're really making a choice to not invest in people, meaning our students and our staff. And because those resources can only be used once, right? And so if we're using them to maintain too many buildings and upgrade and from a safety standpoint and just maintaining, you know, we can't invest that in greater support services, whether that be at special ed, gifted and talented, you know, reading specialists, just having school psych full time in each building, all of our specialists, art, math, art, you know, music, science, all of those things at the elementary level can be done if we have fewer buildings, you know. And I think that's what's best for students, and we have to remember that's the mission of a district.
I want to ask about process. Do you feel like the process that led to the February vote was a good process from last, I remember the summer before, mm-hmm. you talk about the committees, and within that, in terms of the process, you talked about the emotional aspect. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes when you have the emotion in some of these decisions, you almost have to overdo it with the process. Would that be fair to say?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think it's important to engage all perspectives to really make sure we've got every part of the community having a voice. That's important. you know, because I don't ever, I want to be a board member that represents the entire community. And that includes, you know, families with kids in the district. But let's be honest, the majority of our voters who put me here don't actually have students in the district. And so those are other community members with other opinions about how things should be done. And so that's important too. We need to look at all of that. And so, but everybody has their own little lens.
Right.
And they come with a lot of emotion. And so I like to be data driven. You know, I like to step back and say, okay, that's important. That's valuable. You know, but what is the mission of the district? And if the mission is, well, we all want our kids to be able to ride their bikes to school, you know, then we would keep all of our buildings. But that's not the mission, right?
Right?
The mission is to advance student learning and achievement, you know, and success. And so how can we best do that? That's my responsibility to, you know, hear the perspectives from the administration, from the staff, from the community members, and move forward there. The process has to involve and engage every voice. But, you know, it can't be emotionally driven. It has to certainly hear those perspectives, but we need to look at numbers and data and move forward there.
You have a couple more minutes?
Okay.
We have to step away for about 2 minutes, and then we'll come back. I want to ask Karen Vandenberg about the change in leadership with the superintendent.
Okay.
And obviously that's a very significant another piece of the puzzle right now in 2024 for the Wausau School District. So we will come back with a few more minutes with Karen Vandenberg, member of the Wausau School Board and also candidate for reelection. The time is 9:48 here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 12:30.
Fight to make ends meet, keep the man up on his feet, holding down his job, trying to show he can't be bought. Who takes every kind of people to make what life's about, yeah.
And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio. Again with Karen Vandenberg, Wausau School Board member and candidate for re-election. Big change at the top. Dr. Keith Hiltz announcing he will be retiring at the end of June. The search, I think the last meeting started talking about the process of trying to replace Dr. Hiltz. Let me ask you first. Has there been a disconnect between administration and the board at all? Has there been, in terms of maybe on the same track? Because maybe from the outside, it feels like maybe that was the case.
Mm-hmm. You know, I honestly feel like there's been really great communication there. I mean, I think there's not always exact agreement between board and administration. I think that's okay. As long as people can remain respectful and professional, it's important to dig deep and get full perspectives. And that's why, you know, sometimes the information that we get that's coming only from the administration, some of my homework is then to go out and seek some other perspectives as well. You know, I call teachers and, you know, they call me and I also call community members. But I have really developed great relationships with many of the administrative team and certainly Dr. Hiltz. And, you know, we wish him well in his retirement. It's certainly a big now task that the board has in front of them to replace him. It's one of the, you know, really biggest responsibilities that a board has in hiring district leadership.
Before I ask you about some of the qualities you'd like to see in the new superintendent, is there is this difficult during, again, a very important time when you're going through now looking at the elementary school footprint? Is it tough now to have this on the plate? Does it cause any issues in terms of moving forward on that track at all?
to be in the middle of a search as well, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, to be able to try and focus on moving forward with the elementary school future, the plans, and trying to get a plan that people can come and put their arms around and now have to get a new leader at the very same time. Does that make it more difficult?
You know, I think it's okay, and this is why. Because, you know, the search process has begun. We've, you know, hired a search team through WASB, and that's happening simultaneously. You know, we're in the process of hiring a demographer to start looking at the elementary footprint, and those processes will both be happening at the same time. I think looking at the elementary footprint is going to be important with regard to who we're looking for in a leader, because that leader knows that they're going to be stepping into something where, you know, we need to address sort of what we're doing with our buildings. So I think that's going to impact who we're looking for in a leader, but I don't necessarily think it's going to impact the work, because simultaneously both of those paths are happening, and we hope to find, you know, candidates and really, you know, offer a position by April, May, you know, to someone new. And so that elementary footprint conversation is going to be happening a lot longer than that. So
what are the qualities you'd like to see in the new superintendent? I mean, to be able to, because you talk about a job that has a lot of different skill sets that are going to be needed. What would you like to see in the new superintendent?
Sure. So I would love to see, you know, just a strong leader who builds trust with the board and their administrative team and staff, someone who's dynamic and kind of can cast vision for the mission of the district, I think is really important, because, you know, there are going to be some tough things coming, and you need to have some ability to handle those conversations and engage with the community with integrity, for sure. And, you know, I think lastly, being focused is important and decisive. I think sometimes I just recently spent some time in a conversation about the power of focus. And sometimes when you have too many goals, you really don't accomplish any of them with excellence. And so I think having a good, strong focus and the power of good focus and decisiveness in the midst of some of these bigger decisions is going to be important too. So, you know, integrity, trust, dynamic leader who can kind of cast vision and know what they're getting into with regard to the conversation. I think everyone who's in education right now, though, sees this happening across the state and the nation. So I'm not concerned that our candidates aren't going to be well aware. Declining enrollment is something that's happening all over the place. And so those candidates, I think, are going to be ready to address that or at least know that's ahead. In any district that they might be applying to.
And my final question, I'm going to make this the final question to everybody that comes by here, and slightly different for those who are incumbents as opposed to those who are challengers, but when you're talking to folks out there as you campaign for another term, what's your pitch? What are the reasons why voters should return you to the Wausau School Board?
Well, I think I've demonstrated, you know, that I'm committed to the work, that I really have a heart for public education, that I listen to every voice at the table, and I really want to be representative of the community. I think that I've learned a ton over these 3 years and bring experience now, not only from board experience here in the district, but, you know, I've been working for the last 2 years on the Policy and Resolution Committee at the state level, and been a part of the Wisconsin State Education Convention the last 2 years, been on the Wausau School Foundation, and all of those things have allowed me to really learn and engage with other board members and administrators in districts across the state. And that's helped me have a greater perspective in learning how to address problems and solutions. I think, you know, I've demonstrated integrity. I'm invested in the community and in the district as a parent of four. I can kind of come at things from all angles and just really have a love for educators and students. So I think that, you know, I hope that they've seen that I'm someone who listens and has integrity and really wants the best things for this district, and just to continue to promote our mission.
Karen Vandenberg, member of the Wausau School Board, clerk of the Wausau School Board, candidate for re-election. Thank you for spending some time with us.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. That's going to wrap things up here on this Thursday morning. Coming up from 10 until noon, it will be Matinair on Air. That will be followed by the Todd Alba Show. Then from 2 until 4, Matt Flynn Direct. The Devil's Advocates from 4 till 6. Don't forget, tonight I'll be back at 6:50 for the pregame. Wausau West Hockey taking on Stevens Point. Have yourselves a great rest of your Thursday, and thanks for joining us. I'm Chad Holmes, Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230.